Hello and welcome back to the Vinyl Countdown, the podcast where I, Jeremy Levine, break down my favorite vinyl releases from cover to cover and everything in between. On this week's episode, before I get into it, I want to say real quick thank you all for listening to the last episode where I got to interview Ben Jorgensen, of course, from Armor for Sleep. That was a really good one. And this one I'm hoping will be fun too. So I haven't done an album of the year episode. I didn't do one last year for sure. Maybe 2020, 2021. That was the last time I did it. Yeah, so I skipped last year. I skipped a lot last year with the podcast, but I'm back. And this one I want to do a little bit different. I don't know what my format was before. If I did. Whatever the case, okay, so I'm gonna dive into all my favorite vinyl pickups of the year, regardless of the year when they came out, and also the more traditional top five albums released this year. It has been probably, I think you can make the case, this year might have been the best year since I've been collecting vinyl, at least since 2008. This has been the best year for reissues and anniversaries that I've ever seen. You know, so first up, let's talk about the reissues. We have Sparta's Wiretap Scars. Even though it's technically its 21st anniversary, the band themselves are doing 20-year anniversary shows. So I'm counting that one. You got War All the Time by Thursday. AFI's Sing the Sorrow. Two heavy hitters that a lot of people have been waiting a lot of years, myself included, to get their hands on. Yellow Card's Ocean Avenue, which honestly is kind of meh for me. The second half of that album really falls flat, in my opinion. Page Avenue by Story of the Year. Armor for Sleep's Dream to Make Believe. We've got 15th anniversaries of Red Jumpsuit Apparatus, Don't You Fake It. Which, actually, I think I'm wrong on that one. I think last year was the 15th anniversary, but whatever the case. Close enough. There's another one that I got this year, super stoked about. Coheed and Cambria's Second Stage Turbine Blade 20th anniversary. Again, released in 02. So 21st, just like Sparta, but they did also have it listed as the 20th anniversary repress. Another heavy, heavy hitter. So I want to do a top 10 for records that I picked up, you know, but there's so many, I'm going to have to do a top 15. And I have two honorable mentions. Like, that's how stacked this year was. So honorable mentions are as follows. These were kind of easy to put into honorable mentions, to be honest, but they're still super solid records. Stray OST, which, If you're not familiar, Stray is a game that was released last year, I believe, or earlier this year. Might have been last year. And basically, you play a cat that loses his family. You got to try to get him back, figure out what happened. And it's surprisingly emotional, very heartfelt story. Made me cry, which I was not expecting at all. And just the gameplay's fun, like, it was an incredible gaming experience for me, you know. And the music's great. And the OST is great. But there are just too many other really good records, you know. And the Coraline soundtrack, which is one that... it's my own fault. I didn't do my research like I tell everybody to do when it comes to records. I saw one for $60. They had been selling for like $100. So I said, man, ooh, let me jump on that because that's not going to last long, right? And, well, as it turns out, that was a big repress. Didn't realize it. And Mondo was selling for like $35. I guess somebody got their hands on one of the Mondo copies early. I didn't realize that. Bought it for $60. It's more of a Charlotte thing. Like, Charlotte is really, really in love with it. And it's really good, but I kind of got it for her. So, that's one of those ones I could push it off into the honorable mentions, right? Now, I have top 15 written here, but we're going to go top 16 because I forgot to include one record on this list. So number 16, I'm going to go with Yellow Card, Ocean Avenue. Might be sacrilege to some people. For me, that record just does not hold up very well, I guess. I will say the violin player, that whole gimmick is just that. It's a gimmick. And it gets old really fast. And the other thing too, again, like I mentioned earlier, the second half of that album just kind of falls flat for me. Like, just doesn't do it for me. So I was like, eh, whatever. Yellow Card. There's like three, like, Breathing, Breathing, Way Away, Only One, and Ocean Avenue, of course, are like standout tracks. And Breathing is probably my favorite Yellow Card song, period. So it's hard to deny that those songs, but those are all within the first five or six tracks. Like, it's really front heavy. It kind of reminds me of Paramore's Riot in that way, where it's like super front loaded, and then the back half is just kind of like kind of take or leave. But number 15, one that means near and dear to my heart, and I was super high, like I was super excited about it because I was able to get with the person that is making the records. They reached out to me and, you know, were like, hey, do you want this one? Yada yada. I have so many left over. Sonic the Hedgehog 2, original soundtrack. It is amazing. It sounds great. 2D Ninja Records, I've talked about them before. I've got Super Mario Brothers 2 soundtrack through them. I've got Mario is Missing. There's a Super Smash, like a smash cut of a bunch of different Mario games, soundtracks. And I have quite a few records from them, and everything they put out is excellent. So this one's no different. It sounds amazing, and it's just great. Like, the Sonic the Hedgehog 2 soundtrack is unbelievable. So that's number 15, because the rest of them are just my 14 through 1 are incredible. So number 14, another one I've been after for a long time, finally got a repress. Halloween 3, Season of the Witch from Mondo. Those are selling for upwards of $100-$150. And they announced a repress at some point earlier this year. I was able to get my hands on it, you know, for $30 or whatever. But it has like a bunch of cool add-ins. These big cards with like faces from the movie, like a witch. There's a skeleton or a skull or whatever. And the packaging itself, you have to like unfold it three different ways. Like, it's so cool. Like, it's for $30, you know, it is. You can tell they put a lot of thought into the packaging, and it's really cool and very, you know, very much appreciated when companies do that. 13 on the list, lucky number 13. Hey, the Ring original soundtrack available for the first time on vinyl. That was one that it was for the 20th anniversary. It got pre-ordered last year, but did not come in until this year. So I'm counting it as a this year pickup. Through Waxwork, as a Hans Zimmer orchestrated score, and oh boy, it's fucking great. I mean, if you've seen The Ring, you know, the music is awesome. That's one that I can't say I've been after for a long time, but it's one that I've been wanting and hoping somebody would press at some point. And then Waxwork came through as always. And, you know, again, packaging is stellar. Like, the record sounds amazing. It's just, it's fucking great. So, number 12 on the list, this one might seem a little low, but, you know, to me, the other albums that are above it are just that much better. Still really good, though, and it was really cool having him on the show. Of course, Arm for Sleep, Dream to Make Believe is what I'm talking about. Talking to Ben about it was really cool, getting a lot of insight into the record and the making of it and everything else. It's one that I've been a fan of for a long time, and it got its first ever vinyl pressing this year. So, of course, I had to get it. So that was, you know, kind of a no-brainer there. Number 11, the Hereditary original soundtrack. Oof. This one, it's one of the only horror scores that I have that, and I have a lot of horror scores, but this is the only one that is actually kind of hard to listen to because it's just fucking creepy. Like, it is, again, if you've seen Hereditary, you've heard the music, you get on Spotify, you can look it up and find it, you know, but it's awful in a good way. Colin Stetson, the composer, is, I mean, he is a genius. The score feels evil. There's some cool little, like, like little touches here and there throughout that you don't notice necessarily in the movie, but when the score is isolated and you're listening to it, there are some things where it's just like, it kind of makes you feel just like, you know, creepy. And that one I'm excited about because it just got a repress this year for the first time in 5 years. And the original pressings were going for 100 plus, so I was really excited to be able to snag it off of Discogs for $40. So yeah, another one I'm really happy with. I mean, obviously I'm happy about all these, but numbers 9 and 10, these can flip-flop. They can go either way, but, well, actually, I think this is right. I think the order is right. Manchester Orchestra. Number 10, Simple Math. Number 9, Like a Virgin Losing a Child. So that's their first album at number 9, and then their third album at number 10. The reason these are so important to me is, one, Manchester Orchestra has consistently put out incredible music for... I've been listening to them since 2009, so 13 plus years, haven't disappointed yet. But their records are sometimes hard to get a hold of. The second album, Mean Everything to Nothing, I have that one on vinyl. It was for the 10 year anniversary. And then COVID fucked all that up, but we ended up getting it a little late, but we still got it. But that record was hard to get. These two... They repressed them like a couple of years ago, maybe a few years ago, and I missed out on it because I was being cheap, and I was like, I'll grab them later. They sold out, and then never got a chance to get them again. And then those particular copies are selling for, those variants are like $90, $100, $80. Like, man, I'm like, I'm not spending that much on a record, you know? So I got an email from them, you know, part of their newsletter thing, and said they had some vinyl for sale from tour, some leftover tour vinyl. And I was like, oh, that's probably going to be, you know, the newest release, which I have, and it's great, but it's like I already have it, you know? And then they said it was the first three albums. I was like, holy shit. So as soon as their store opened, the online store I went to, it got them, and I was just like, holy shit, I can't believe I finally got these records. So I was really excited about those, because those records are classics. I mean, you got to listen to them. You got to check them out. What I'm going to do is, the description of this episode, I'm going to actually put Spotify links for all of these albums. By all means, check them out. I think you'll enjoy them all. So number 8, Sparta, Wiretap Scars. Actually trying to get Jim Ward on the show, lead singer. We talked a little bit. We never really could make our schedules. It never really worked out, but it would be really nice to get him on, because not only is he the founder of Sparta, he's one of the co-founders of At the Drive-In. So just two insanely wonderful bands, and it's like you're a part of both of them. That's really awesome. But Wiretap Scars, like, it's such an incredible record, and it's one that, if you haven't heard it, I mean, if you like At the Drive-In, they're more quote-unquote normal, maybe softer, more accessible parts. You take all the weirdness away from At the Drive-In and you get Sparta, kind of, in my opinion. Then you take all that weirdness and you turn it up to a fucking 1,000 and you get the Mars Volta. And then somewhere in the middle, you get At the Drive-In. So Sparta's on the more accessible but incredible, kind of laid back, still aggressive, but it's like that they have a wonderful balance and a mix of things. And then At the Drive-In, it can be chaotic, it can be subdued, it can be very thoughtful, it can be very introspective, and it can just be fucking insane. And the Mars Volta is just pretty much all insane. But Sparta, great. Cannot recommend that particular record enough. Number 7, again, records I picked up this year that don't matter as far as the time of when they originally released. Red Jumpsuit Apparatus, Don't You Fake It. I snagged this copy off of eBay for like $50, and it's one that was signed by the band. So that's fucking great. Now, this record, I mean, needs no introduction. I mean, me and my buddy Dylan from the Off the Beaten Cleft podcast, we actually did an episode about it earlier this year, and... It's still, from the singing, from the music, from the writing, like, I feel like it kind of is a little ahead of the emo music at that time. Again, a little more, I don't want to say mature, but just like, I don't know, they were talking about some stuff that was like, you know, like domestic abuse. They were talking about relationships, but in different ways than other bands were talking about at the time. And like, it just, I don't know, something felt different about that record. And Ronnie Winter's voice is also like, he can soar and scream with, like, or sing loudly and strong and powerful with the best of them, but he can also scream with the best of them, right? He reminds me of, like, if Anthony Green had a deeper voice, kind of in that range, where he can just go in between, like, high, low, and everywhere in between, and he does it really well. But anyway, talk about it on the episode. Should go check that episode out. Number 6, Coheed and Cambria, Good Apollo Volume 1. I'm not reading the whole title out. Their groundbreaking third album. Just what really put them on the map for most people. It's probably my second favorite Coheed album of all time. Second, third, I don't know, man. It's hard. It's hard to rank them, but classic album, 2005. This record came out very famously. I talked about it. Not famously. I've talked about it before on how I missed out on the vinyl initially, having internet issues. By the time I was able to add it to cart, it sold out, etc., etc. It was a Record Store Day release in 2017, I think. Which I think they were considering that it's 10-year anniversary, even though it was actually 12 years. It's weird how bands do this. I don't know why they do that. But one disc was Blood Red. The other disc was what they call Bone White. Oh, okay. That's what it was. It was the first time. It was for Record Store Day, but it was the first time that this album was available on vinyl. Is what the big deal was. It wasn't like an anniversary thing. It wasn't a 10-year, because it's actually a 12-year anniversary, but it was Record Store Day 2017, and it was the first time it was ever going to be on vinyl. I forgot about that. But whatever the case, I got the one that I wanted, the Bone and Blood. I paid like $100 for it. I was like, fuck it, I want it. I'm finally going to get it. And can't say enough about that record, man. So good. But then, number five, we're going to break into my top five now. I kind of feel like I'm going long here. Coheed and Cambria, Second Stage Turbine Blade. So that one, again, it is their first album. It's an incredible album, right? Start to finish, it's a classic. And actually, I have one of the more, I don't want to say coveted, but I mean, it's sought after. You know, it was limited to, I think, 4,000 copies back in 2011. The 10-year anniversary press, and so I've got that one, but then over time, I fucked it up, 3,000 copies, not 4,000, sorry, and, you know, I hung it on my wall, like, I just did not take care of it at all, so I've been waiting for a long time for a repress so I can get a playable copy and keep that one. It's kind of like my collector's copy, right, and I finally got a chance to do that, and this one, it sounds pretty good. There are some weird spots that sound a little quiet and just sound fuzzy almost. But overall, I'm just happy to have it in actual working order. Number four, Story of the Year, Page Avenue. An incredible record that I never got a chance to own on vinyl. There was very few pressings, and the ones that were available were like $90, $100, whatever. And I was like, I'm not doing it. And then at some point, I don't know if somebody had my Instagram or somehow or another, I ran across, I think somebody posted a picture, and I was like, what is that? And, like, what variant is that, you know, because I've never seen that particular color. And he's like, oh, there's a repress. Like, very casually, I'm like, what? And sure enough, I go to Story of the Year's website, and they're just available. So, fuck. Snatch it up. That record just, it sounds amazing. It's like, it's red with black splatter. Like, it looks really cool. Yeah, I mean, just, I was so excited to get that one. Like, excited enough that it was above these Coheed records. Even though Coheed is, like, you know, second, third favorite band of all time, there's just something about being after a record for that long and then finally getting your hands on it. It's just like, I don't know. There's almost no better feeling in the world. But, so the top three, man, number three is one that I ran across it for a good price and I was like, oh, man. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie soundtrack from 1990. Not the original movie soundtrack, which would be like the orchestral score, which I have through Waxwork from a few years ago. This is the one with all the songs from the movie. Not only that, it is sealed. It's an original press from 1990. Still sealed and has almost the entire like pricing, the price sticker on it from wherever, whatever store it came from. The hype sticker is still on it too. And it's like pristine copy. And I paid $60 for it, which I feel like that could have gone for a lot more than that. But I've never opened it. I just like kind of have it as like a, holy shit, this is awesome. So that was one I wasn't expecting to run across, but I got it and it was like, oh. And then actually, funny story about it, I thought it was lost because the guy sent it. I mean, it was tracking or showing, you know, on the way to next destination for like 3 weeks. Like, it was crazy long. And I was like, okay, it's got to be lost. Because the last two times this happened. One time with the record from Newbery Comics, the Holding a Wolf Back by the Ears, the From Out of the Ashes, when they first pressed that to vinyl, I ordered it from Newbery and did that same thing. And after like a month, I was like, look, I get a refund. I don't know. Like, it's not coming in. And it never came in. So I was like, damn, like, it's not that guy's fault. I'm sure he sent it off, but post office lost it. So I contacted the seller of the Ninja Turtle record and asked him for a refund. And he's like, well, look, this happens every now and again. But if you do end up getting the record, all I ask is that you just send us the money back. I was like, deal. That's fine with me. Because I was like, no fucking way I'm going to actually get the record. And like maybe 2 weeks after that conversation, the record shows up. So I was like, what the fuck? So it was crazy, but I'm so glad. I'm so glad I got it because there's no other copy I've seen available in this condition, still sealed, and everything with it for that price. So, oh, yeah, I love it. So number two, this was hard, but the number one, I think you already know what the number one is. But number two, AFI's Sing the Sorrow. For the first time since the original pressing in 03, the one pressing from 03, finally got a repress, an official repress. There's a handful of bootlegs, but no. This is a full-on, it's an official pressing. It sounds amazing. It looks really cool. Like, I mean, I've been after this record. It's got to be going on 6, 7, 8 years, something like that. I guess it was one of those records, like, I was collecting vinyl for a while, and I wasn't really thinking about this record. Then one day, I just like, huh, oh yeah, let me look that up. Surely they have that on vinyl. And then you come across the one pressing, and it's like, oh, why is it so expensive? And then you realize, oh, that's the only pressing. And then it just, yeah. Honestly, never, never thought this record was going to get repressed. And there was rumors, and then it finally happened, and then there was a long pre-order, big wait, and it's like, is this legit? Like, fuck. But then people start getting their copies in, and I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. And then I finally got mine. So, awesome. And now, number one, Thursday, War All the Time, another record that I definitely didn't think was ever going to get repressed, because part of the band themselves, they were like, yeah, we can't repress it because, you know, Island Def Jam and whoever else owns the rights, and they're not going to repress it, and they're not going to give us the rights to press it. So unless they would have to buy it back for like millions of dollars or some crazy shit. And it's like, it's so shitty because like the record labels, you know, like holding certain albums hostage, when it's like, you had this record in your pocket. Like, you could have been doing whatever with it, right? And you could have been promoting it, and you didn't. Like, you didn't promote it when you had it. You know what I mean? So now you have this record all this time, and you sit on it, and it's like, I don't know, it's fucked up. So it was preventing them Thursday from repressing it. It really sucks because you kind of had to buy it through like Universal Media Distribution or some shit. And so it's like, Thursday's not going to see any of the money from that album sale. But the way I look at it is, well, I spent $30 to get this record I've been wanting for a long ass time. It was either that or pay $150 for the same record. Either way, Thursday's not getting a cut of the profits, right? So it's like, well, I mean, either way, they're not seeing this money, so might as well make it cheaper for myself. I think they even said as much in comments here and there. They're like, yeah, buy it, shit, I don't know, we don't care, like, we just want people to have the record, you know, because they're the nicest guys of all time. So that's my number one pickup. Again, just never in a million years thought I'd ever see an official repress. So yeah, over the fucking moon for that one, right? So, you know, the top five is pretty much set in stone. The bottom 6 through 16 can kind of change, you know, can bounce around here and there, but I'm sticking with that, right? Now moving on, nominees for the top five albums of the year. Fuming Mouth's Last Day of Sun, Jeff Rosenstock's Hell Mode, Initiate's Cerebral Circus, Jesus Peace, So Unknown, Zulu, A New Tomorrow, and Paramore's This Is Why. Right off the bat, I'm going to go in and just throw Zulu as an honorable mention. It's good. I hesitate to say it's not great. It does what it does very well, but I just think the other records here are better. Zulu kind of reminds me, they remind me of Jesus Piece, but not quite as good. So take that for what it's worth. Speaking of Jesus Piece, number 5, Jesus Piece with So Unknown. It's such a good record. It's so heavy. It just fucking kicks you in the goddamn teeth. It never stops kicking you in the teeth until it's over with. Perfect workout music. You know, Aaron Hurd is an incredible front man. You know, the screams, the guttural screams, the growls, the musicianship too. I forget their drummer's name. I'm drawing a blank on the rest of the people in the band's name. Forgive me, but they are super tight. They just have it. Like they've kind of hit their stride, I feel like. And, you know, sky's the limit for them, you know. Fuming Mouth, number 4. Last Day of Sun, another incredible record. Waiting years for a follow-up to The Grand Descent. Also had the opportunity, you know, if you've been following the show, to talk to Mark from Fuming Mouth. And he was, like, the nicest guy of all time. You know, but the record, I put in number 4. It's awesome. I mean, really, these records, I say 2 through 5 can kind of, like with anything, they can flip-flop, right? So, yeah. Last Day of Sun, excellent record. Number 3, Paramore. This is why. Now, this record got a lot of play. I mean, a lot of play early in the year. I've kind of slowed down with it, but when I go back and listen to it now, I'm like, damn, it's really fucking good. Like, so it's still awesome. It's Paramore. That they've grown up. It's all kinds of things. They're incorporating some of their kind of emo, pop punk past selves. Some of that is present here, but in some of their newer, more pop-leaning, but still expertly written, and the lyrics are just, like, they're heavy, they hit with such an emotional reverence. Like, that's what I think sets Paramore apart. I mean, you can call them a pop rock band now, I guess you can call them a pop band. I don't know. They're in the mainstream, but the way they write songs lyrically, they're miles ahead of anybody else in that space, in my opinion. Gotta love Paramore. Jeff Rosenstock, Helmo, number 2. This record, everything Jeff puts out is fucking gold. He's just, I mean, it's incredible. From, you know, Post to No Dream to Sky Dream, a joke Sky album remaster, reimagining of one of his own albums, and it fucking slaps. It's like, who does that? Like, who can do that and pull it off? Like, it's crazy. This particular album, the song Doubt, is one that I first heard, I think, off of it. It's fucking incredible. Will You Still You is great. Head, Liked You Better. Graveyard Song is fucking great. Heal Mode is great. Like, all these fucking songs, they're so good. They're so good. It honestly would have one album of the year if not for Initiates. Cerebral Circus at number 1. Good God Almighty. I talked about it in the episode that I did on this record, and boy, it is. Oof. It's an incredible, incredible record from start to finish. Crystal's vocals are fucking great. The writing, the raw passion, the emotion behind everything. I mean, it's unbelievable how good that record is, man. And again, that closing track is one that, I mean, it still gives me chills when I listen to it now. Like, it's still just like, it hits so fucking hard. The song Transparency, I'm doing horrible with names tonight, but yeah, I cannot say enough about this. I mean, I did talk about it in the episode. It's absolutely incredible. And solid top 5, I think. Putting Paramore so low felt weird, but the first 2 records are basically perfect. So it's all right. And so check out episode 107, actually, for an in-depth review of the Initiate record. One of the cool things, too, it's short enough to play multiple times throughout a day, which I've done, which is weird, because I don't ever do that. Perfect hardcore record from start to finish. And then Jeff Rosenstock's album, I guess, it feels, it's awesome, and it's great, but it falls slightly short of previous album of the year contender No Dream in a few ways, but still very, very good. So with that, that's all I got, man. Again, the winners were Initiate for Album of the Year with Cerebral Circus, and my favorite pickup of the year is Thursdays, War All the Time. If anybody listens to this, let me know your thoughts. Like, or what are your picks for Album of the Year? What are your favorite pickups of the year, regardless of when they were released and all that good stuff? So you know, let's talk about it, right? And with that, you know, I got some episodes coming up next month or two. I got some interviews lined up, some things that kind of falling into place again, just some fun stuff. Like, it won't be anything regular, like it won't be me doing this every week anymore, but every other week, every few weeks, yeah, you know, we'll see how it goes. So as always, I'm Jeremy Levine, and this has been the Vinyl Countdown. Thank you all for listening, and I hope to be in your ears whenever I'm in your ears again. So, all right, take care, everybody. Merry Christmas.